I would like to speak to you this evening on what to do when life doesn't seem fair. Life definitely doesn't seem fair in the readings that we just heard this evening. The first reading, King Antiochus, he tries forcing a devoted mother and her seven sons to renounce their religious beliefs. And the Sadducees, trying to discredit the humble Jesus, by tripping him with a trick question. And then we have David, the psalm, the one anointed to be the king over Israel, moving from cave to cave like a common criminal in order to flee the sword of Saul. As I read all of those, and as you probably heard him this evening, you probably asked the question, God, where's the justice? Where's the justice? It doesn't seem fair. Do you ever feel untreated, unjustly treated? Have you ever felt that way before? See if you can relate to any of these modern day situations. Passed over for a job promotion, betrayed in a relationship, diagnosed with a potentially debilitating illness, having difficulty making ends meet financially. Now, I know these are real life situations because I've experienced every one of them in my life, sometimes more than once, and also many, many others to go along with it. And I can say there's been some times where I couldn't sleep at night and I would call out to God, God, where's the justice? It just doesn't seem fair to me. Well, much of our ability to weather these kinds of storms comes by finding strength and encouragement in the promises of the Scriptures. I know it sounds simplistic, and people say I'm a pretty simple-minded person, but I would say it's simply true. The Scriptures are full of great promises which strengthen and encourage us. Even in the readings that we have today, if you look beyond the circumstances and you dig a little deeper, you will eventually tap into springs of living water. So what I'd like for us to do this evening is spend our remaining minutes looking at two of the insightful lessons that are in the readings today, which talk about what to do when life doesn't seem fair. And then close by asking God the strength and the grace to apply these principles to our lives. Lesson number one, ask God for protection. Ask God for protection. Now, this golden nugget is found in the psalm. David, we know, was having a really tough time because Saul was in hot pursuit of him. And after he blows off some steam in the first part of the psalm by reminding God that he was essentially a good person and he didn't deserve to be mistreated the way he was, he begins to calm down a little bit, and then he asks God to protect him and not vindicate him, but to protect him. And here is the prayer. Oh God, keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings. This is a powerful prayer. It is a really powerful prayer, but the thing that I really like about it is that it's not only for David, but it's also for all of you who are assembled here this evening. This is your prayer that you can pray when life doesn't seem fair. Protect me, O God. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Now, in modern day terms, the apple of the eye is called the pupil. It is the pupil, or it's the way in which our sight, we receive our sight. So you can also call it your eyesight. Now think about this for a moment, because David, he really brings home the level of intensity and confidence he has in God protecting us. Because he thinks about this, he says, God, protect me like you would protect the apple or the pupil of your eye. Well, what do you do if somebody's throwing a football or a basketball at you, or there's a blow that's about to come? What do? Well, the first thing is you blink your eyes. You close your eyelids, don't you? And then you turn your head in order to protect and prevent anything from happening to your eyesight. Your eyesight is really important, isn't it? and we do whatever it takes to protect it. And that's exactly what David is asking God. God, I know that you believe that I'm very important to you as one of your children. Protect me, O Lord, as you would protect your very own eyesight. Then he says, protect me, O God, hide me in the shadow of your wings. This is a beautiful illustration. It's one of the most lovely illustrations, and you've probably seen a picture of it, but it's of a bird hovering over or putting its young under its wings in order to protect it from predators or from the elements. This is an image that David was particularly fond of, because if you read in his life, in the Psalms, what you find is that when he was up to his eyeballs in alligators, he was praying this prayer, Lord, let me get under the protection of your wings. For example, tonight, when David hid in the cave from Saul, he said, hide me in the shadow of your wings. And then on the occasion when David refused to kill Saul, when he had the opportunity to do it, he said this, be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you and in the shadow of your wings. There's those words. He says, in the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge until destruction passes by. And then when David was fleed into the wilderness of En-Gedi from other enemies that were coming to take his life, he said this to God, God, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. And then on the occasion that David prophesies about the impending captivity from Babylonian, from the Israelites, that the Israelites were going to be taken captive by the Babylonians, what does he say? He says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. I take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And probably the one that I think is the most powerful is when he's on his deathbed. He's got his son Solomon beside him, and he's telling Solomon the important things to remember because he would succeed him as king. Listen to what the great word of wisdom that David shared with his son. He says, God will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. Well, it's obvious that this is an important lesson that David had learned about God and his protection. And it was something that carried with him in all of his situations throughout his entire life. And this image, it's beautiful. It's struck a nerve with people down through the centuries, and that includes photographers as well. So what I've done is there's some pictures when you're leaving this evening, and you might see them in a few minutes too, in the gathering space, which show you pictures, different images of this gathering under the shadow of God's wings. So reflect on that and see if you agree with David how critical that is. The second lesson to remember when life doesn't treat you fairly is that there's great security, peace, and contentment in knowing this, that one day we will be resurrected and we will go to be with God forever. This theme is really what's woven into all of the scriptures that we heard this evening. It's like a golden thread, and I always think of it, there's a piece as it comes out of the weaving where we can pick up with a needle and we can weave this wisdom into our own lives, and it is the hope of the resurrection that we have. Listen to some of the scriptures. This is what the fourth brother had to say in today's first reading. He said, it is my choice to die at the hands of men with the hope God gives of being raised up by him. There's that resurrection. And then from David, we hear this. On waking from death, Lord, I shall behold your face. I shall be content in your presence. And then the most convicting and the most assuring and affirming is the one that comes from Jesus, who says that the dead will be resurrected. Even Moses made known when he called out, God is not dead, God is not God of the dead, but he is God of the living. So no matter what it is, this is a really important lesson. No matter what it is that you have to face in life, be assured that one day you will be resurrected by the God of the living. And all of these troubles will suddenly disappear. They will go up, as they say, like a puff of smoke. Remember, when you're up to your eyeballs in alligators, our difficulties are not forever. They don't last forever, and they will eventually pass, hopefully in this life, but if not, absolutely in the next. So I'd like to close this evening by offering you a prayer for when life doesn't seem fair. Maybe you're here tonight, you're feeling misrepresented, or you're here and you're feeling hemmed in by external circumstances. Well, you may want to pray this short prayer along with me as well. O God of the living, we feel at times that life doesn't seem fair. As your beloved children, please protect us today as the apple of your eye and hide us under the shadow of your wings until that glorious day when we are resurrected and see you face to face. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.